Scripture passage for this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. Listen for God's holy word. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For it is in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are complete will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. The prophet Jeremiah had predicted that bad things would happen. God had called him and given him a difficult calling. There were six words, six verbs, six actions that God told Jeremiah that he would be called to prophesy. God said to Jeremiah that his words would pluck up, pull down, destroy, overthrow, build, and plant. The first four, the majority of those words, would be hard and difficult visions to prophesy. To pluck up is an action associated with farming, with cultivation. Jeremiah would prophesy that the vineyards and the fields around the city of Jerusalem, they were going not to remain until harvest time. Instead, they were going to be plucked up, uprooted like weeds to be thrown in a fire. The next verb was pull down. That was the action associated with sieges and destruction. Invaders came, and they came to pull down fortifications and walls in order to invade. The third verb was destroy. After an invading army had pulled down walls, they would destroy, and Jeremiah would prophesy that an invading army was coming to destroy the city of Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, the city of David. All of it would be destroyed. Even God's temple. Finally, overthrow. That was ultimately what the invading army was there to do, to overthrow. To overthrow everything. The monarch, the religious establishment, everything about the people's lives would be overthrown. In Jeremiah's day, the empire of Babylon was growing in power and in strength. Babylon was conquering nation after nation, and their armies were moving closer and closer to God's people in the city of Jerusalem. God had revealed to the prophet Jeremiah that Babylon was coming to overthrow the lives of God's people, every detail. And Jeremiah had the difficult calling of predicting it, seeing it coming, and calling the people to acknowledge the truth and the reality of this impending situation. In one illustrative action, God told the prophet to put a yoke around his neck and to walk around the city of Jerusalem. The symbolism was that the growing threat of Babylon was a real threat, and that they would conquer the city and lead the people away in chains, like a farmer leads a team of oxen with a yoke. Now, predictably, Jeremiah was not a popular prophet among God's people. The people of the time, the establishment of the time, the king and his court of scribes and teachers of the law, the priests in the temple, the wealthy and the comfortable in the city, they did not like the terrible predictions that Jeremiah had received from God and which Jeremiah also dared to pass along to the people. They wanted to hear what other people had to say. They wanted to hear that because they were God's people, because they were special, God would never allow bad things happen to them or to their city. One of Jeremiah's many opponents, a man that we now refer to as a false prophet, Hananiah, gave a message that most people wanted to hear. He told the people not to worry. He told the people that the threat from Babylon was overblown and that everything would be fine. When Jeremiah wore that wooden yoke around his neck that represented what Babylon soon would come and do to the people, Hananiah took that same yoke off Jeremiah's neck and smashed it to pieces, saying, "Look, Babylon looks like a threat, but they will be smashed to pieces, so don't worry, don't change, don't fret." Eventually, Jeremiah's God-given predictions did come to pass. The Babylonian army came, and they plucked up the crops in the fields surrounding Jerusalem. The army came, and they pulled down the walls and the fortifications around that city. The Babylonian army came, and they destroyed the city, the palace, the marketplace, and the temple, and they overthrew the city. They overthrew every aspect of the people's lives. As Jeremiah had predicted, according to what God had revealed to him, the Babylonians yoked the people, the leaders, the elders, the priests, the false prophets. The Babylonians yoked up the powerful and the important, and they led them off into the difficult experience of exile. According to the book of Jeremiah, God had decided that the people of Jerusalem needed change. They had become complacent. They had slid into a sinfulness that was casual and commonplace. They had accepted as normal that which was corrupt, unjust, and wicked in God's sight. God had sent the people warnings. God had called the people to repentance and to change. When the people did not respond, God's answer, according to the book of Jeremiah, God's answer was overthrow and exile. God overthrew the whole sinful arrangement. God did this, presumably, to help God's people realize that their sins and their troubles were real, their sins and their mistakes mattered to God, and that their acceptance of a broken and unjust status quo would not do. God overthrew God's people and led them into exile. It was at this point in the people's difficult experience that God shifted Jeremiah's calling into its second phase. The plucking up, pulling down, destroying, and overthrowing had been accomplished, and now Jeremiah was called to help the people to rebuild and to replant. People of God, for many of us, the last several months have felt like a time of being totally overthrown and being sent and trapped in exile. The coronavirus and the shutdown, the demonstrations and the conversations in our country about race and injustice, the difficulties and sorrows and fears and disruptions and discomforts, and the lack of certainty or clarity about what the future may hold, due to all of it, we feel as those who have been totally overthrown and exiled. The fields that we had been tending, the projects that we had been working on, the plans that we had made, the harvests that we were looking forward to reaping and enjoying, they have been plucked up. The walls and fortifications that used to keep us feeling safe and secure and at peace, our walls have been pulled down. Some of what we imagined would always be in our lives, institutions and traditions and comfort and perhaps even the lives of friends and neighbors and loved ones, they have been destroyed. Like the people of Jerusalem at the time of the Babylonian conquest, during the ministry of that unpopular prophet Jeremiah, we had hoped that everything would be okay, but instead the dire predictions have come to pass and we have known overthrow. There is and has been in each of our hearts speculation about why. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow a pandemic to overthrow our lives? Why would God allow so much unrest, so much pain, so much difficulty, so much sorrow? Why would God allow so much trouble in our world? There aren't easy or elegant or problem-free answers to those questions. And personally, I am hesitant to stand here and say, this is why, or here is the clear explanation, or I understand everything perfectly. But all the same, as I studied this passage from the book of Jeremiah, as I opened my ears and my heart to try and hear God speaking to us from these ancient words, what I hear from God is the message that someday our situation will shift. All of the destruction and time of overthrow and exile will come to an end, and it will be time to rebuild and to replant. And when that time comes, when we are called to a time of rebuilding our lives, and when we are again allowed to replant our fields, God's call to us is to build and to plant something that is better, more righteous, and more in line with God's will than what had come before. In Jeremiah's time, God overthrew God's people and sent them into exile. God allowed them and their city and their systems and their lives to be overthrown. But what Jeremiah's words reveal in the second phase of his ministry is that while the people experienced real difficulty and real sorrow, they were never beyond God's mercy or God's love or God's influence, or God's care, or God's calling. God gave Jeremiah words to send in a letter to the exiles in Babylon. The words encouraged the people to keep living, to keep planting, to keep building, even there in exile. Through Jeremiah's letter, God called the people to build new homes, to plant new gardens, to make and to raise up and to care for new families. God's word through Jeremiah's letter encouraged the people even to pray for their captors, to pray for their enemies, to seek the welfare of the city of those who had caused their overthrow and their exile. Jeremiah's words told the people to take comfort. His words reassured the people that they had reason for hope. God's word through the prophet Jeremiah told God's people, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your destruction, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." People of God, friends of Jesus Christ, and beloved of our Heavenly Father, truly our lives have been overthrown, and we have been locked into an unwelcomed exile. As we begin to rebuild, as we begin to plant again in our fields, let us do so with the hope and the assurance that God is with us to bring us into a future of hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.